Today's show will look at today's college football landscape with insights into the big games from the top 25 to the SEC, interviews, previews, scoreboard updates, and more. The Countdown to Kickoff Tailgate Show is brought to you in part by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office, Strike and Spare Family Entertainment, Inns Bank, Casa Nashville, Braza Flooring, real estate agent Richard Courtney of Frederick and Clark Realty. And now, here's your host, Johnny Ballpark Frank.
And welcome to hour number two of our Countdown to Kickoff Tailgate Show. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you. Ray Dosky making sure everything runs great. This hour being brought to you in part, besides Harding Pharmacy, Inns Bank. Inns Bank, proudly helping Middle Tennessee businesses now for almost 20 years. A true local bank for all of your needs. Make sure you check them out. Two locations to serve you, Green Hills or the Brentwood office. Plus, for more information, you can go online at innsbanktn.com. Your bank, your partner. Get to know Inns Bank, where genuine matters. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Coming up around 11:35 or so, Will West joins us from Knoxville with Sports Radio WNML to preview Tennessee and Florida. But right now, our good buddy Doug Segrist, part of the show, formerly with the Nashville Banner, now a co-host on the TV show The Zone in Birmingham on Sundays on ABC 3340, as well as a contributor to the Montgomery Advertiser. Doug, hope your week has been solid, and welcome back as always.
It's been great, and it's good to be here.
All right, a couple of early games in the SEC, Missouri playing host to Arkansas. It's a battle of two teams that have, you know, nice storylines. First-year head coaches for both Arkansas and Missouri. And who would have thought at this point, when you're talking about 15 games, the fact that they've got seven combined wins, Missouri entering this game 4-3, and the Arkansas Razorbacks 3-5, but when you consider how hard it was for them to get conference wins over the last three seasons, three wins, that's a pretty special year so far for what Sam Pittman has been able to do with the Razorbacks.
Yeah, I still contend he's your unanimous coach of the year. These are two programs on the rise. I think what's most heartening about Arkansas is that there's still not much of a roster there. And I don't want to say he's done it with smoke and mirrors, but he's done it with
chemistry. Hey, and Doug, I think we're having some trouble with your connection there. Let me see if we can have Ray reconnect with you. Having a little difficulty there with our connection. So, Ray, if you could do that for me. Once again, we have several games that just kicked off in the 11 o'clock hour, including ranked teams. One of them obviously involving an SEC team in Texas A&M. They get the ball first down the plains early in this ball game, but they are driving inside the Auburn territory, inside the 40. Still no score there, so we'll keep you updated on that one. Also in the top 25, you got 4th-ranked Ohio State at Michigan State, 15th-ranked Oklahoma State at TCU, all kicking off, or already kicked off, I should say, 17th-ranked North Carolina at home against Western Carolina. And then you have in the Conference USA, 21st-ranked Marshall in action, too, as they play host to a 1-2 Rice squad. So we'll keep you updated as far as all those games are concerned. Arkansas, Missouri has kicked off as well. And Missouri already driving there in Arkansas's territory at the 1st-and-10 at the 44. But this is, once again, early first quarter as far as that. So we'll keep you updated on those scores as well. And don't forget, we'll have a chance to preview Tennessee, Florida with Will West over in Knoxville with Sports Radio WNML. So we'll keep you updated on all those games. All right, chance to go back as far as to visit with Doug Segrist. Do you have Doug back on the phone, Ray? All right, I'm not hearing from Ray, so we'll see where we are as far as that's concerned. Speaking of the SEC, other games to keep up with this afternoon inside the SEC. 3 o'clock game that, or excuse me, at 2:30. Once again, Tennessee hosting Florida. As a reminder, the 3 o'clock game today, as far as Georgia playing host to Vanderbilt, that game has been postponed. And then the other games inside the SEC, night game 6:30, Kentucky hosting South Carolina. And then at 7, number one ranked Alabama at LSU. Back to the phone lines, Doug Segrist rejoining us again. Doug, sorry about that. Hope you we have a better connection now.
Can you hear me?
Much better.
I hear you great.
Much better. So I'm glad we got that straightened out.
Okay.
All right. So here's the thing. It's tough. I mean, this is when we visited with Brian Matthews last hour with AuburnSports.com. with the Auburn Tigers, you know, I think one of the challenges for that coaching staff with Gus Malzahn and the staff is like, you know, how do you get your players up for this game against A&M? Because certainly disappointing loss to Alabama, wasn't close. But then again, there's a big difference between number one ranked Alabama and fifth ranked Texas A&M. I mean, this is an Alabama squad that beat them by 28. And that's why I really think that Auburn will play well today, and I think this game will go late before it's decided in the fourth quarter.
Well, on paper, Texas A&M should win, not as decisively as Alabama did, but should win pulling away. However, this is kind of where you're ready to give up on Gus Malzahn. This team doesn't have a lot to play for, and that's when they seem to be at their best. And so I'm kind of like you. I think Auburn will play well today, but that said, they're very banged up. They've got two starting offensive linemen out. I'm not sure how healthy Tank Bigsby is. I know another running back is dinged up. They've got injuries on the defensive side, so they are really short man today. But this is kind of, you know, when you look at Auburn's history, it's been a roller coaster under Gus Malzahn. But they've never fallen off the cliff. He always seems to rally this team. He has that locker room, and, you know, that's why I think they will perform well, and this game will go down the wire.
I was throwing these numbers out in the first hour. The fact that, you know, in the first 101 games, you know, because this is the game number 102 for Gus Malzahn, his head coach of the Auburn Tigers, 45% of his games have been against top 25 competition. So that's called welcome to the SEC. So today, really no exception with regards to what Gus Malzahn has faced week in and week out as head coach of the Tigers.
Somebody compared Tommy Tuberville and Gus Malzahn at the same point. And I think Tuberville had a slightly better winning percentage, but there's no comparison. You know, Tuberville was going up against Alabama at its low point. Probation, coaching changes, bad coaching hires, and he was taking advantage of that. He reeled off six straight wins. Gus Malzahn has gone up against an Alabama program that has been had the greatest run in college football history. We've seen Texas A&M become relevant again. We've seen LSU win two national titles in his tenure. And oh, by the way, Auburn has played for national title itself. So, Auburn fans are very frustrated. There aren't many left on the Gus bus, but when you look at what he's done under the circumstances, it's really been pretty remarkable. It hadn't been Alabama, but guess what? Nobody outside of Clemson, Ohio State is playing at this level year in, year out. We've seen Georgia do it, and now all of a sudden Florida's on the way back and Georgia's taking a step back.
Texas A&M just scored, so we have just under 9 minutes to go there in the first quarter. So A&M on their first drive took it downfield, touchdown pass from Kellen Mond. And so A&M waiting the extra point, leading Auburn 6-0. I think the key here for the Auburn Tigers in this first quarter to see what Bo Nix and Auburn, what they do as far as with their first initial series of this contest, to see if they can answer with what A&M just did.
Well, he's at home, and that's the first step. He plays much better at home. But listen, the offense is going to go. It's going to depend on him having a big game today. He's got to be accurate. He's got to throw the deep ball to keep him honest. And he's going to have to throw successfully enough to open up running lanes because this offensive line is beat up, and they're struggling. They've made great games this year, but they're not what they were 2 weeks ago.
The interesting game this afternoon over in Knoxville, 2:30 start time for Tennessee as they play host to the Florida Gators. I saw this stat earlier this week. In this series, from 1985 to 2007, 19 straight games of top 25 competition where both teams are ranked in the top 25, 10 top 10 matchups, 4 top 5, including 3 matchups where both teams ranked in the top 5 out of 4 games from 96 to 99. And then there was a stretch where 4 of 6 from 1996 to 2001. This series is not that today.
No, it's not. I mean, Florida's back on the way up. Tennessee is back on the way down. And this is a Florida program that's going to stay up for a while, and we don't know what's going to happen with Tennessee. We don't know if Jeremy Pruitt will be leading them a year from now. All the success they had last year was washed out in the third week of the season. And, you know, I think what we can say about Tennessee is their roster is better than it was a few years ago, but we're not seeing the results. We're not seeing the quarterback play. It's just very frustrating. I know Tennessee fans have probably gone through more than any other fan base when you consider where they're used to being and where they've been for the last decade.
Where do you think that, I mean, we watched this Tennessee team this season. They've allowed only 8 passing touchdowns, and they're going up against a touchdown machine with Kyle Trask. Now, I will say this in all fairness. I mean, they don't run the ball when they get close to goal lines. And so the numbers inflate. I mean, you compare, you know, because people talk about the Heisman Trophy favorites. It's Mac Jones at Alabama, Kyle Trask with Florida. But with when you think about what Mac Jones, I mean, he has another guy that could be up for the Heisman as well, Najee Harris. I mean, you're talking about a 1,000-yard receiver in Devontae Smith, a 1,000-yard rusher in Najee Harris is what he's going to be. But with that said, you know, that matchup right there, the fact that, you know, allowing the fewest touchdown passes so far in the SEC, there's some positives there for Tennessee. We'll see how it's impacting them today in this game against the Gators.
Well, they even kept Mac Jones reasonably in check that day. They had to go balance, and, you know, that's the advantage Alabama has. If you can take away the deep threat, if you can keep Kyle Pitts bottled up, and he's such a matchup nightmare. But then if you can force them to depend on the run, nobody else has been able to do that yet except Texas A&M. They're very vulnerable because they just don't have the running game. We know they don't have a great defense, so you've got opportunities not only to score but to keep their offense off the field by sustaining drives. So, you know, this is a good thing for Tennessee in a way because as bad as the season has been, this is the kind of game that can turn your whole perception around and build momentum going into next year because it would be a monumental upset.
And that's the part where, I mean, the thing that I still have trouble with after the 2-0 start, with just how bad Tennessee has played in the second half in these last 5 games, all losses, the fact they've been outscored 108-14 in the second half in all these losses, that's what really sticks out to me. And because it'd be interesting if you took this year, put it to last year for Jeremy Pruitt with Tennessee, and took last year and put it to this year, you'd have a happy fan base. You're trending in the right direction. But the problem, you're not doing that. I mean, you can compare all you want if you're Phil Fulmer with the start that you know, Johnny Major had at Tennessee as a head coach compared to Jeremy Pruitt, but that doesn't tell the full story.
No, and what's frustrating is the second half collapses are a routine. And from, you know, we're not in the locker room. We don't know what's going on, but the general idea is that if a team comes out and plays well the second half and adjusts, that means the coaching staff's on to something. And you've got a coaching staff that's able to kind of rejuvenate a team. And I think that's part of the frustration, again, is we're actually seeing Tennessee competitive for a half, whether it's Georgia or Alabama, and in the second half they're getting the doors blown off. So what is the other team doing to adjust and get a better performance? And why is Tennessee not able to match that? And, again, I think that goes into – questions about Jeremy Pruitt and his future. That's one of the frustrating things. If you're getting blown out at the start and you could blame injuries or COVID, it'd be one thing, but you're showing for 30 minutes that you can play with some of the better teams in the country. And then the last 30 minutes, you don't have a clue. That really just gets your blood boiling.
Kentucky tonight, they play host to South Carolina 6:30. It's senior night there for Kentucky, 18 seniors. Look at what this, you know, it'd be different if you're talking about other programs with, you know, that's accustomed to winning year in and year out. But I think it's worth noting what Kentucky has done and what this senior class has done specifically. You know, wins in 2 bowls, the Citrus Bowl, the Belk Bowl, first 10-win season and winning SEC record since 1977. They ended that 31-year drought to the Florida Gators back in 2018. They enjoy the win this year, first win at Tennessee since 1984, five wins versus ranked opponents, and more importantly, too, for them, also back-to-back blowout victories over Louisville. It's amazing when you put it together in a group like that, all that this senior class has accomplished with the Wildcats.
Again, I think Mark Stoops is the most underrated coach in the country, what he has done on a consistent basis. And the record's not going to show it. I guess the best they can do this year is go 4-6. And, you know, that ends a bowl streak. Although I guess everybody technically is eligible. But what they have done has just been miraculous. I used to praise Rich Brooks for the same thing, and Stoops has exceeded that. And he has built a program that is a consistent threat in the East. They haven't gotten to the point where they can win it. But, again, you know, I'm not sure they're ever going to compete on the same level as Georgia and Florida without something odd happening at those schools. So I think he's done a phenomenal job. This is not the schedule they signed up for. You know, their original schedule was much more manageable. It started tough out of the gate with two losses. But I think, again, going forward, this is a team that hadn't shown any quit. You throw out that blowout loss to Alabama with all the COVID, not suspensions, but with the COVID absences, and they were outmanned if they were healthy. But I thought they competed pretty well against Florida, and we've seen them at their peak against Mississippi State and Tennessee when they're healthy defensively, and it's one of the best defenses in the conference.
Have a chance once again to visit with Doug Segrist out of Birmingham. Finally tonight, number one ranked Alabama at LSU, a revenge game of sorts. And Nick Saban is not going to downplay it. And it's one of these things where he, after all these years, he's not really concerned about the players being too emotions. He loves the fact that they play with emotions. He's not concerned necessarily with them playing with so much that impacts their play on the field. But Alabama, you know, losing 46-41 last year. How about the fact, too, that they back-to-back visits to Baton Rouge, LSU still has not scored. LSU has not scored against Alabama at home since 2014.
You go back to 69.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, it's 2014.
That's right. You go back to 1969, and I think Alabama's lost there twice, and that's a span of 51 years. I mean, it's just been an incredible run. You know, Nick Saban is the master of the revenge game. He's ever since he got to Alabama, you go back to the 2008 season, and, you know, the next year they avenge the SEC championship game loss to Florida in impressive fashion, and they've been doing it like every other year because there aren't a whole lot of games to avenge because of their consistency. I don't think he really cares about personalities, about other teams and what other teams do. However, I guarantee you that the Coach O locker room speech from last year where he dissed Alabama pretty it was pretty hard on Alabama, basically said that LSU was the king and was going to stay king. You know, his players have heard that. I mean, he knows what that means to the players, and they're going to be fired up. And the question is, if LSU doesn't come to play, how bad will the score be? You know, I don't think he'll run it up. I think he'll try to shut it down or slow it down as soon as possible. But if he doesn't, I can't say I blame him.
The interesting thing, too, we know about Alabama's streak as far as the 35 or more points in 21 straight contests, longest streak in the history of college football in the poll era. Second on that list was Oregon with 15 when they did it back in 2011 and 12. The other one, Alabama active streak right now, 38 or more points in seven straight road games. It's tied with Ohio State for the second longest ever. They're just two away from the all-time record in the poll era set by Oregon when they had nine straight road victories, scoring 38 or more points, from 2011-13. So here's an Alabama team not only scoring period week in and week out, they're also able to do it on the road as well. And it's right there where I think the score will be. I predicted earlier this week that Alabama will win this game 38-10.
That would that, so you have LSU covering about.
I do,
according to the latest one. Okay. I think it's going to be worse than that. I don't think it'll get much worse, though, because, you know, lo and behold, LSU's now playing defense. They were really good against Texas A&M, particularly against the passing game. You go back to that loss at Auburn, where Auburn just had its way, and they've really improved a lot. The problem is they don't have the offense to complement it, and I just don't see when teams have had success against Alabama, and success means losing by 28 instead of 48, It means first downs. It means ball possession, and just keeping Alabama's offense off the field. I that's the problem. I don't think LSU can do that enough. They can play their best defensive game of the year and still give up 38 points.
The other things, too, in this stretch run, I don't know if you agree with me or not, Kyle Trask with Florida, Mac Jones with Alabama, the two front runners as far as the Heisman Trophy is concerned. I think it will be decided on the 19th as far as if it is these two teams playing for the SEC championship. Just like we've saw, you know, two or three years ago as far as for Tua Tagovailoa, for example, what he was doing compared to, you know, his competition. I think it really comes down to that particular matchup in Atlanta.
Oh, that's the Heisman playoff championship game. I don't think there's any question because the vote goes out after that. Kyle Trask is going to have the better touchdown numbers, again, what we've talked about, because they don't have much running game. And if Alabama gets in the red zone, you've got Najee Harris, who's just automatic. He's like a heat-seeking missile for the end zone. So that's the only place that Kyle Trask just has a big advantage on. And I think it's really going to come down the eye test, and it'll come down to the winning quarterback, and assuming the winning quarterback outplays the losing quarterback.
Do me a favor before we let you go. Remind the listeners again the best ways to keep up with your SEC coverage.
My columns will be live at the end of both the Auburn and Alabama games today on MontgomeryAdvertiser.com. And then every Sunday night, The Zone with Jeff Spiegel and Ryan Brown on ABC 3340 in Birmingham at 11:05.
Hey, we appreciate you as always. Have a great football Saturday, and look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thank you, Bob Park. You stay safe.
Hey, you too, buddy. All right, once again, that's Doug Segrist joining us out of Birmingham, ABC 3340. The TV show is The Zone, plus contributor to the Montgomery Advertiser. Still coming up, we'll preview Tennessee, Florida around 11:35 or so. Will West, co-host on the station in Knoxville, Sports Radio WNML, will join us. Coming up on the other side, we'll have a school board update, a lot of games to update you on, a couple in the SEC and more. This hour being brought to you in part by Harding Pharmacy. You know, in a world of corporate giants, it's nice to know there's a locally owned professional pharmacy that is here to take care of you and your family. They were so instrumental in my help back in October, and mainly because, too, they offer free delivery. Harding Pharmacy in Southeast Nashville, a full-service pharmacy. The employees are dedicated to meeting the needs of their customers with the highest level of service. But here's the other thing, too. You can have your prescriptions transferred or your next one filled as well at Harding Pharmacy. Your fast and friendly family pharmacy, easy to find. They're at 4120 Nolensville Pike, just south of Harding Place, right next to the post office. That's Harding Pharmacy. Coming up, the Countdown to Kickoff Tailgate Show continues right here on Nashville Sports Radio.
This is Jim Renitz, CEO of InsBank. InsBank has been proudly helping Middle Tennessee businesses, people we consider friends. InsBank is a true local bank built by and for Nashville business leaders, a place where clients' best interests come first, a place where you have access to local decision makers, and a place where you receive the personalized service you deserve. It's because we are a different kind of bank that knows what makes sense for you and your business. Come visit us at our Green Hills or Brentwood office or online at InsBankTN.com. Your bank, your partner. Get to know InsBank, where genuine matters.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Every team needs a go-to producer when the game is on the line. It's no different when you're looking for a real estate professional when buying or selling a home. Knowledge, trust, results. Richard Courtney, with more than 30 years of experience, is that local real estate all-star. Learn more about his proven marketing plan at richardcourtney.com or call 615-300-8189. Richard Courtney is part of Frederick and Clark Realty. 615-327-4800. When it comes to great times with family and friends, Strike and Spare Family Entertainment keeps raising the bar. With five centers in Middle Tennessee, Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers offers bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment for all ages. And don't forget, with TVs located throughout, you can always keep up with your favorite teams as well. Also, Hendersonville at Circus World and now Murfreesboro in the old Sears building in Stones River Mall provide two enhanced experiences to enjoy, including laser tag, roller skating, bumper cars, time freak, laser maze, and a virtual reality roller coaster. Looking for a place for a gathering? Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers are great for birthday and corporate parties, fundraising events, and all types of activities and reunions. Other locations to serve you include Hermitage, Donaldson Plaza, and the Tusculum area. For more information, you can visit them online at strikeandspare.com. All locations are open 7 days a week, including holidays. And remember, there's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers.
How do you give hope to a child in the foster care system? It starts with your heart. That tug you feel on yours when you hear that children are waiting for a stable, loving voice to speak up for their best interests. And then it becomes your time. What started out as a feeling that maybe you could make a difference becomes the difference. Change a child's story. There is a child waiting for a volunteer like you.
Volunteer or donate at CasaNashville.org.
He's back and we've got him. The George Plaster Show.
Hold on, who is that person?
That was me. Over the bag of Cheetos.
Harry, how long have you been on radio in this market? At what moment do you think when you're doing a live bid, it's okay to open Cheetos on the air?
What in the hell?
Live, local, George Plaster. Weekdays starting at 2 on WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Countdown to Kickoff Show with Johnny Ballpark Franks.
With you with our Countdown to Kickoff tailgate show. This hour being brought to you in part by Inns Bank. Two great locations to serve you in the area. Check them out, Green Hills or the Brentwood location. Plus, for more information, go online at InnsBankTN.com. Your bank, your partner. Get to know Inns Bank, where genuine matters. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender. Time for a scoreboard update with these early kickoffs this afternoon. First in the top 25 is fourth-ranked Ohio State on the road, leading Michigan State 7-0, 8 minutes remaining in the first quarter. Still early, obviously, for all of these games. When you look at Ohio State, by the way, in this matchup, they've won 8 straight road games, longest active streak in FBS. Also on the road today is fifth-ranked Texas A&M leading Auburn 7-0. They're driving again, the Aggies are. They're facing a 3rd-and-7 at the Auburn 37, 3:43 to go in the first. So far, Kellen Mond, the quarterback for Texas A&M, 8-for-8, 60 yards, and 1 touchdown toss. Inside the Big 12, 6:23 to go in the first quarter, it's 15th-ranked Oklahoma State. They're leading TCU 7-0. They've got the ball driving again. Once again, 6:23 remaining in the first quarter. It's 17th-ranked North Carolina on top of Western Carolina 7-3. 4:27 to go in the first quarter in that matchup. Other contests inside the top 25 is 21st-ranked Marshall and Rice scoreless. 3:14 to go. Rice driving, by the way, facing a 2nd-and-12 at Marshall's 15-yard line. Rice looking to get on the scoreboard first in this matchup. In the MAC play, it's Toledo leading Northern Illinois 7-6. Northern Illinois just scoring, waiting on the extra point. 5:04 to go in that first stanza. In Big 12 play, it is Texas Tech, second field goal of the morning, leading Kansas 6-0. Kansas still searching for their first win in 2020. They entered this game 0-8, 0-7 in Big 12 play, 8:56 to go in the first quarter. It's Texas looking for a statement today. A lot of backlash after Texas's loss last week. They're up early on the road against Kansas State, leading 10-0, 4:33 to go in the first quarter. In Big Ten play, it's Nebraska all over Purdue this morning. Nebraska 17-0 already, And still, 5:59 to go in the first 15 minutes there in the first quarter. In Big Ten play, Penn State looking for their second win of the year. Very disappointing season so far for Penn State. Entering this game today on the road, 1-5 on the year. But Penn State just scoring as far as a touchdown pass from Sean Clifford and to Parker Washington. Extra point was good. 3:32 to go in this first quarter as Penn State leads Rutgers 7-0. Memphis and Tulane, the game being played at Tulane, all tied up 7 apiece. Brady White, for the quarterback for Memphis, a touchdown toss. He's already 4-6 this morning, 73 yards. 7:04 to go in the first quarter here with that game all tied up between Memphis and Tulane. And then finally, inside the SEC, it's been all Missouri so far in this first 15 minutes. 4:47 to go in the first quarter. Game being played in Columbia, Missouri. Missouri Tigers all over Arkansas already 10-0. That's a scoreboard update. And coming up, we'll have a chance to preview Tennessee, Florida. This afternoon start time, 2:30 over in Knoxville, Will West. He's a co-host on the radio station Sports Radio WNML. We'll talk to him about this game and other topics, too, as far as the SEC on the other side as our countdown to kickoff tailgate show continues right here on Nashville Sports Radio.
When it's time for new flooring in hardwood, the choices can be mind-numbing. Who do I call? Who can I trust? Locally, Braza Flooring is a leading expert in floor installation and services and makes the process easy. Braza Flooring offers a wide selection of flooring options and hardwood supplies and will work with you to help you decide which selection works best for you. Once you make a decision, they'll handle the rest. Nobody does hardwood floor installation better than Braza Flooring, and they do it fast without sacrificing quality. Braza Flooring provides the best service at an affordable price. Their passion for flooring and extensive experience means no job is too big, too small, or too difficult. Call 678-826-7798. That's 678-826-7798. Or go online at BrazaFlooring.com and follow them on Instagram. Braza Flooring, where they strive to please and guarantee complete satisfaction. When it comes to great times with family and friends, Strike and Spare Family Entertainment keeps raising the bar. With five centers in Middle Tennessee, Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers offers bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment for all ages. And don't forget, with TVs located throughout, you can always keep up with your favorite teams as well. Also, Hendersonville at Circus World and now Murfreesboro in the old Sears building in Stones River Mall provide two enhanced experiences to enjoy, including laser tag, roller skating, bumper cars, time freak, laser maze, and a virtual reality roller coaster. Looking for a place for a gathering? Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers are great for birthday and corporate parties, fundraising events, and all types of activities and reunions. Other locations to serve you include Hermitage, Donaldson Plaza, and the Tusculum area. For more information, you can visit them online at strikeandspare.com. All locations are open 7 days a week, including holidays. And remember, there's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers.
What happens to your decision-making when you drink? Well, after one drink, you feel confident. A few more, and calling your ex at 1 a.m. seems like a great idea. And you're pretty sure the secret to a great taco is four-day-old macaroni. The bottom line, drunk you doesn't make great decisions. So you're risking a DUI or worse if you count on him to get you home. Plan before you party. Get home safe. Paid for by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
This is the sound of a racing heart. It's beating a little faster because it belongs to a young child. But this child isn't in the middle of a close soccer game or playing with her puppy in the yard. Her heart is racing because she's just been told she has to move foster homes again. Change a child's story. There's a child waiting for a volunteer like you.
Volunteer or donate at CasaNashville.org.
This is Jim Renitz, CEO of InsBank. InsBank has been proudly helping Middle Tennessee businesses, people we consider friends. InsBank is a true local bank built by and for Nashville business leaders. A place where clients' best interests come first. A place where you have access to local decision makers. And a place where you receive the personalized service you deserve. It's because we are a different kind of bank that knows what makes sense for you and your business. Come visit us at our Green Hills or Brentwood office or online at InsBankTN.com. Your bank, your partner. Get to know InsBank, where genuine matters.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
It's a Bill King Show.
I have this aversion to either the media or anybody else telling people what they ought to be doing with their money. Maybe in this case, it's just me versus the planet Earth. But I'm not going to tell those coaches at Tennessee or any other school, here's what you ought to be doing with your money.
Weekday mornings beginning at 6 on Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM.
Now back to Johnny Ballpark Franks and the Countdown to Kickoff Show.
And welcome back. This hour being brought to you in part by InsBank. Two great locations to serve you, Green Hills or Brentwood. Plus, for more information, you can go online at InsBankTN.com. Your bank, your partner. Get to know InsBank, where genuine matters. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. All right, coming up this afternoon in the SEC, 2:30 start time as the Tennessee Vols play host to the Florida Gators. To talk more about this game and other things in the SEC, Will West joins us from Knoxville with Sports Radio WNML. All right, so what's the conversation been like this week as far as surrounding the Tennessee Vols team as they head into this matchup with the Gators this afternoon, Will?
Honestly, the biggest thing has just been a combination of fan apathy and then people asking the question, how much of a rivalry is this anymore? Those have been the biggest things that people wanted to talk about on our station this week. So, you had a Florida player that said this week, you know, he's never really played a Tennessee team that was competitive, and he's right. And then so it's led to a lot of people around Knoxville asking how much of a rivalry this still is. I do think that for fans probably under the age of 45, 50. Florida is the biggest rival on the schedule each and every year, but at this point there is almost this resignation that Tennessee is going to get beat down today. And especially when you kind of look at the specifics of this year and everything that's happened over the last week or two for Tennessee. Tennessee, Johnny, had an issue within the strength and conditioning program and then with some of the players where they had about 16 players there that have been quarantined. Some do come out of quarantine or did come out of quarantine yesterday, but not all of them. But that's 16 players that are not going to practice, and Jared Garantano was one of them. So they didn't practice leading up to the Florida game. They played – this will be game three since Halloween that they played, and honestly, it's not been going well for a while. So you just had Kevon Bennett this week get arrested and kicked off of the team for intent to resell marijuana and a gun charge. Everything kind of is just pointing towards – this just being a natural backside whipping, and I think Tennessee fans have kind of resigned themselves to that.
Yeah, when you start breaking down, there's a couple of the rivalries there inside the SEC for Tennessee. It goes without saying as far as what has happened against Alabama, but you know, here's when you think about Tennessee, you want to be competitive in the SEC East. Well, it's hard to do when you look at the Gators with a 14-1 record against you since 2005. 22-5 since 1993. That's what Florida has posted against the Tennessee Vols. And, look, all you have to do is look at what this series used to be. 19 straight meetings where both teams ranked in the top 25 from 1985 to 2007. 10 of those were top 10. 4 top 5 matchups as well. That's what it used to be. Fast forward 13 years later, and it's certainly a different story altogether.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. And this year, I would say, in years past, we would have people that would talk themselves into on the air with us why Tennessee was going to get a win. We haven't had anyone that's done that. And the reason why is there's nothing quantifiable you can point to that says that Tennessee's going to get it done. And so, and you also have to keep, you look at the difference in the, think about the number of coaching changes Florida's gone through in that time, more than Tennessee has, quite frankly. And still, Florida has dominated the series to that extent. Honestly, it's a sad state of affairs, and it's another reminder of where Tennessee football's fallen to. And until they start beating teams like Florida, heck, until they start beating teams like Vanderbilt, you know, consistently, And then from there, you take that step to Tennessee fans had hoped this would be the year that, okay, we stay ahead of South Carolina, we stay ahead of Kentucky, we stay ahead of Vanderbilt. We probably can't beat Florida this year, but then next year, maybe Florida. And it just hasn't happened. I mean, they've already got blown out by Kentucky. We'll see what happens in the Vanderbilt game. I know things aren't going well for Vandy right now, but the idea of maybe you could take this one away from Florida was there at the beginning of the season, and now it is absolutely not.
I go back to, I think it was year two for Butch Jones when he was head coach of the Vols, and it was almost like he was making excuses for his team before they even took the field on a, you know, he'd make these comments earlier in the week before they even play a game on that Saturday. I think that was a bad look for Phil Fulmer this week, trying to compare Jeremy Pruitt's record in the first 30 games to a Johnny Majors. I mean, when you're reaching like that, I mean, because I said this back in the hour one, the fact that you, if we had last year for Tennessee this year and this year last year, you would feel pretty good if you were a fan of the Vols because you were trending in the right direction. You're going the opposite direction. The fact that you're awful in these last five games, all losses, getting blown out by 108-14 margin in these five losses in the second half. I mean, you can try to paint a pretty picture, but until you show it on the football field, that's the only picture the fans of the Vols are interested in.
And no, I mean, it's wins and losses at the end of the day. And you're right. I agree. And let's. I know he's trying to back up his hire, and there are going to be a lot of people that if and when it doesn't work out for Jeremy Pruitt, they're going to say Phillip Fulmer and Jeremy Pruitt are attached at the hip. If that hire doesn't work out, you have to move on from Fulmer. I wouldn't be in that camp. I think that there are so many things that have been broken in Tennessee athletics that Phillip Fulmer's fixed. Now, at the end of the day, if you don't fix football, those other things don't matter, right? But baseball, basketball, getting some of the, you know, the financial stuff in order that he's done a good job with before you get to Jeremy Pruitt's, before you get to his contract extension that you gave him inexplicably at the beginning of the year. There are a lot of people, though, that look at this and say, because of what happened behind, you know what happened behind the scenes, Johnny. I mean, you had a coup with Fulmer and boosters that took, that napalmed to the president of the university and the chancellor of the university at the time that look, you're not going to hire these people that you'd agreed to hire already. And then Fulmer got to hire, and he decided to hire Jeremy Pruitt. And so a lot of people are going to say, so wait a minute, you pulled this Game of Thrones stuff behind the scenes to install your guy, and your guy's failed. That's got to fall on you. And I do think he has to be accountable for it, but I do think there are a lot of positives and a lot of things that have been broken for Tennessee athletics, frankly, since Coach Dickey was gone, that have been fixed since Coach Fulmer stepped back in. Now, again, you got to win football games. And so I do think that that was Fulmer just covering his backside as much as it was trying to cover his coach's backside when he said that.
Well, and I think here's the problem. You know, you've got individuals behind the scenes richer than Phil Fulmer. You've got individuals behind the scenes that are accountable for this decision. But they don't want to take responsibility for anything that goes south. So somebody has to pay the price. And all these things that you're talking about that's been improved under Phil Fulmer, you know as well as I do, it does not matter with those boosters and with the fan base. Great that you can make these things about the baseball. Woohoo! But the fans, first and foremost, fair or unfair, they want to know what is this program doing as far as the Tennessee Vols program. Because, you know, here we are, I was just going to say 151 years of college football, and when you talk about one of the great traditions in football being Tennessee, but none of that has occurred over the last 15 years, that's where the issue comes.
Oh, no, I mean, 100%. You're right. I mean, it's for the fans. This is what's going to be where the disconnect, I think, is going to be, Johnny. The fans are going to say, this isn't good enough. You can't come to us and expect us to pay X amount of dollars for season tickets and buy the swag and do all of these things and get excited for next football season if you're bringing this back. The unfortunate part is outside of one very, 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 very big booster, the rest of the bigger boosters were the ones that backed Phillip Fulmer on kind of the coup that happened behind the scenes that put him in power. So for them, I do think there's part of it where they say, we don't want to own that we made a mistake backing Fulmer and giving him this hire instead of hiring Jeff Brohm, instead of hiring Mike Leach, instead of hiring any number of other candidates that wanted the job at the time. I don't think they want to own that. It's just those were the two that were hired, and it was napalmed after the fact by the boosters. They don't want to own their part of that. And so you're right. Someone's eventually going to be held accountable. It'll be Coach Fulmer before it's those boosters. You're absolutely right. But I do think we're already getting boosters behind the scenes telling us, well, we don't have the money to make a coaching change and things like that. with, you know, South Carolina, look at their reserve versus what our reserve is. At the end of the day, if they wanted to make a change, they would. I do think that Pruitt's coming back next year, heck or high water. Maybe if he loses that Vanderbilt game, they make a move. But right now, the product you're seeing on the field isn't good enough. And another problem is culturally, you've got problems. You had to fire a coach because of an altercation in the middle of the season.
Right.
One of your two or three best defensive players, you just had to dismiss from the team because of drug and gun charges. So the problem is that culturally, it's not going well either for Tennessee off the field and around the program.
I mean, here's the other part, too. You look at this, for example, in year three, your offense, when you're talking about, there's 130 teams that play FBS football. When your total offense ranks 106, this is this year, your passing offense 105, your scoring offense 109, I mean, that's just not acceptable for a program, especially when you talk about how much Jeremy Pruitt is getting paid. And I still go back to, how did he get an extension before all this? Great for him and his agent, you know, jumping all over the fact with the 8-game winning streak, because ever since then, everything has gone the opposite direction.
Yeah, and I think some portion of that is the Jeremy Pruitt. Look, defensively, they're not good. But the problem is offensively, it would be one thing, and I would say, okay, Jim Chaney was a mistake if you were letting Jim Chaney run his offense. You had two offensive coordinators who have not been allowed to run things the way that they want to run the offense and have the autonomy that, in my opinion, they need. And those two guys are, frankly, more successful than Jeremy Pruitt is at what they've done. So that's been kind of a bother to me, and it's been one of the things that I've looked at and just thought, I don't understand why. I understand he wanted something very conservative, protect your defense, to try to win that way, and that's why he would let Tyson help run his offense. Now he wants them to, you know, he made this statement to us that he said, I think on every play, every receiver should always be running to the end zone every time. So that takes away crossing routes and takes away plays to the flat. It takes away, frankly, pressure in the field horizontally, which is something Jim Chaney's known for doing. And it's one of the things that he brings to the table. So they're running this like hybrid of not letting Chaney run a system. Chip Long's there. They're not letting hit what Chip Long does. Not what Will Friend did with Mike Bobo. None of them are running their system. They're running some portion of each of the three of them, and then what Jeremy Pruitt wants, which is like this Frankenstein monster of terrible offense, especially when it comes to the passing game. I mean, those first scripted plays on offense against Auburn, Tennessee ran crossing, Tennessee did stuff to the flat, Tennessee pressured the field horizontally, and Tennessee was tied with Auburn. In the second half, they come out and they get completely away from that. Now, they're able to run the ball a lot more effectively by doing that. But they also got blown out. So I don't understand why they keep banging their head against the wall and keep doing the same thing and expecting a different result. But when we've seen Tennessee use that, you know, use the flat, use the crossing routes, take a little off Garantano, let him make high percentage throws and let playmakers make plays for you in the passing game, it's gone pretty well for Tennessee. But the second they get away from it, try to go vertical all day, they just don't have the quarterback to be able to do that. And I've also never seen a football team, I mean, maybe you could say Bruce Arians, but other than that, there's never been a coach who's tried to do that. And for whatever reason, that's what Jeremy Pruitt wants them to do, and it's not working out.
Will, always a pleasure having you on. If you're not doing so already, you can keep up with Will on Twitter at Will West, WNML. We'll see how this goes. Something tells me that Tennessee is going to put together their best four-quarter effort since, I guess, the second game of the season. I don't think they're going to win, but I think they can keep it within the 17.5. So we'll see how that all plays out.
Nothing's changed. That line hasn't moved, which tells me that's usually one of those Vegas knows something situations, and it seems like Vegas agrees with you there.
Hey, we appreciate you, buddy. Have a great weekend. We'll talk soon.
Thanks a lot, Johnny.
All right, you too. That's Will West joining us again over in Knoxville. By the way, you know, you may be thinking about upgrades around your house, you know, all types of things. If you're thinking about new flooring or hardwood, the big questions come, who do I call? Who can I trust? Let me tell you about our fine friends with Brazza Flooring, a leading expert in floor installation and services, and they make the process easy. Check them out. Samuel and the guys over there in the gang at Brazza Flooring. Look, they provide the best service at affordable price. You can get more information about their services and their products by going online at BrazzaFlooring.com. Plus, you can follow them on Instagram. Do me a favor, let them know that we sent you as well, but check them out. You'll be glad you did. Brazza Flooring, where they strive to please and guarantee complete satisfaction. Coming up on the other side, another scoreboard update before we have final thoughts on this morning's Countdown to Kickoff Tailgate show as it continues right here on Nashville Sports Radio.
Every team needs a go-to producer when the game is on the line. It's no different when you're looking for a real estate professional when buying or selling a home. Knowledge, trust, results. Richard Courtney, with more than 30 years of experience, is that local real estate all-star. Learn more about his proven marketing plan at richardcourtney.com or call 615-300-8189. Richard Courtney is part of Frederick and Clark Realty. 615-327-4800.
This is Jim Renitz, CEO of InsBank. InsBank has been proudly helping Middle Tennessee businesses, people we consider friends. InsBank is a true local bank built by and for Nashville business leaders, a place where clients' best interests come first, a place where you have access to local decision makers, and a place where you receive the personalized service you deserve. It's because we are a different kind of bank that knows what makes sense for you and your business. Come visit us at our Green Hills or Brentwood office or online at InsBankTN.com. Your bank, your partner. Get to know InsBank, where genuine matters.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
You have a 90% chance of surviving a lightning strike. You have a 98% chance of surviving a shark attack. You have a 99% chance of surviving a snake bite. But you only have a 50% chance of surviving a crash if you aren't wearing a seatbelt. Your truck may be tough, but a seatbelt makes it tougher. Buckle up in your truck. Brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
When it's time for new flooring in hardwood, the choices can be mind-numbing. Who do I call? Who can I trust? Locally, Braza Flooring is a leading expert in floor installation and services and makes the process easy. Braza Flooring offers a wide selection of flooring options and hardwood supplies and will work with you to help you decide which selection works best for you. Once you make a decision, they'll handle the rest. Nobody does hardwood floor installation better than Braza Flooring, and they do it fast without sacrificing quality. Braza Flooring provides the best service at an affordable price. Their passion for flooring and extensive experience means no job is too big, too small, or too difficult. Call 678-826-7798. That's 678-826-7798. Or go online at BrazaFlooring.com and follow them on Instagram. Braza Flooring, where they strive to please and guarantee complete satisfaction.
It's the Countdown to Kickoff Show on Nashville Sports Radio.
Once again, this hour being brought to you by InsBank. Two great locations to serve you, Green Hills or Brentwood. Plus, for more information, go online at InsBankTN.com. Your bank, your partner. Get to know InsBank, where genuine matters. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. It's time for another college football scoreboard update. This one brought to you by our friends with Strike and Spare Family Entertainment. Five great locations to serve you in the area for Strike and Spare. You know, we have, of course, Hermitage, Donaldson Plaza, and the Tusculum area. Plus, don't forget now two enhanced experiences you'll discover and find. Hendersonville at Circus World, which has been there, but the new location in Murfreesboro in the old Sears building in the Stones River Mall. So you're going to get games, bowling, food, drink, and entertainment at all the locations, plus TVs to keep up with your favorite teams. But with these two enhanced experiences in Hendersonville and Murfreesboro, you will also get laser tag, roller skating, bumper cars, along with Time Freak, Laser Maze, and a virtual reality roller coaster. For more information, you can go online at strikeandspare.com. All locations open 7 days a week, including holidays. And as a reminder, there's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers. All right, as far as updates, first of all, in the SEC, fifth-ranked Texas A&M down on the plains in Auburn, and A&M just had a chance. They were deep in Auburn's territory. Their drive stalled, so not only did they not score a touchdown, but they also saw Seth Small miss a 28-yard field goal. So 8:09 to go before the half, and Auburn is playing, you know, not their best brand of football, especially offensively, but the score is still tight. As Texas A&M leads the Auburn Tigers 7-3. Kellen Mond, by the way, the quarterback for Texas A&M, 9 of 10 start there, 70 yards, including a touchdown toss to Jalen Weidemeyer from A&M. But A&M leading Auburn 7-3. In addition, in the SEC, one other game going on right now over in Columbia, Missouri, and it's the Missouri Tigers. They got up to the 10-0 start. Arkansas closed the gap. Right now it's 10-6 early in the second quarter. And Missouri, by the way, driving again. They're facing a 3rd-and-9 at Arkansas's 14-yard line. Other games right now, first inside the top 25, you've got 4th-ranked Ohio State on top of Michigan State, 14-0. Ohio State entering this ballgame, by the way, longest active winning streak as far as road games. They've won 8 straight and looking to make it 9 in this game on the road against the Spartans. In addition, 15th-ranked Oklahoma State also on the road, having early success on top of TCU, leading them 13-0, 12:03 to go before the half. In addition, 17th-ranked North Carolina from the ACC playing a non-conference matchup with Western Carolina, and right now it's all Tar Heels, 12:26 before the half, North Carolina leading Western Carolina 21-3. Inside the Conference USA, it's Rice on the road, 1-2 on the season, taking on 21st-ranked Marshall, and it's Rice leading 7-0. Still early, obviously, but you know, the longer this game goes, the more hope that you give a Rice squad for an upset. But right now, Rice 7-0 lead, 11 minutes 10 seconds to go before the half. In MAC play is Northern Illinois on top of Toledo, 14-13. Toledo waiting for their extra point to tie this game up. 10:47 to go before the half. In the Big 12 play, it's Texas all over Kansas State, 24-7, 11:50 to go in the second quarter. It's Texas Tech leading Kansas 10-0, 13:35 before the half. And it's Nebraska in Big Ten play, leading Purdue 20-3, 12:22 to go before halftime. And then finally, Penn State on top of Rutgers, 10-0, 10:03 to go before the half. Big thanks to our visitors, Brian Matthews with AuburnSports.com, Ron Higgins with Tiger Rag Magazine, Doug Segrist with the TV show The Zone in Birmingham on ABC 3340, and Will West from Knoxville with Sports Radio WNML. Don't forget, Vanderbilt women's basketball as they take on Arkansas Little Rock, 1:50 as far as the pregame tip, just after 2. For Ray Dosky, Johnny Ballpark Franks, have a great weekend, everybody. We'll see you again next Saturday with our countdown to kickoff tailgate show at 10. And also, I'll see you Monday afternoon at 4. Have a wonderful weekend, and make it count.
WPDQ, Franksboro.